Irish Illustrated Insider subscribers, this is Drew Mentock. I'm back with the 22nd episode of our bi-weekly podcast series on the feed, Irish Illustrated Interviews. Today, we're sharing my conversation with Charles Dew, a Notre Dame cornerback in 2024 and 2025. Our conversation covers what it was like to first play football in high school after growing up in Beijing, why he picked Notre Dame over numerous Ivy League opportunities, the trials of walking on to such a high-level football program, and his own Rudy experience. We also dive into his time on the team, his unique bond with Fighting Irish coach Marcus Freeman, and what he brought to the Notre Dame locker room. Lastly, Charles also gets into going viral during the 2024 college football playoffs after fans discovered his Chinese name stitched in Mandarin on the back of his jersey. Here's my interview with Charles. What's up, everyone? I'm here with Charles Dew, a former Notre Dame walk-on cornerback from Beijing who suited up for the Fighting Irish of the past two seasons. You also went viral for your nameplate on your Notre Dame jersey during the playoff run. It was written, your Chinese name was written in Mandarin, which I know you got some notoriety for that. Charles, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my honor.
So I always start this off by asking everybody how they first heard of Notre Dame. Growing up in Beijing, I'm guessing maybe your first interaction or first time you encountered the university might be a little different, but what was that like for you? When did you first kind of learn in Notre Dame?
Yeah, so, you know, coming from a Asian family background, going to a good Ivy League school, a good ranked school is probably the priority. So I literally just look up like the top 20 U.S. news colleges, and, you know, Notre Dame is a top 20 school. I've never heard of the school besides I know it's top 20. And I didn't even, you know, read into it because my goal was always the Ivy League, Harvard, UPenn. And so Notre Dame was actually the last school I applied to. On my Common App, I got 20 slots, and Notre Dame and Brown was my last two schools that I was deciding, should I apply to Brown or should I apply to Notre Dame? And then my college counselor was, I think Notre Dame fits you a little better than Brown. You know, Brown's a little bit more liberal. So that's the reason I applied to Notre Dame, had no intention coming here at all. And the first time hearing about Notre Dame football was, I already had the Notre Dame academic offer. That was my first academic offer. And my high teammates was like, hey, you know, Notre Dame has a great football team. And I didn't believe it. I just look up online Notre Dame football, and I just couldn't believe what I saw online, the pictures. And like, how come a bunch of 20-year-olds can play football in front of like 100,000 people? Like, this is unreal. And at that time, I had a couple like D1 offers, mainly from the Ivy League, and I've done campus visit and stuff. You know, the biggest field was probably Franklin Field at UPenn. Even that, you have like 5,000 people show up to a game. Like, it's nowhere near what Notre Dame is doing. So that got me more interested. I watched the movie Rudy and then had a better sense of what Notre Dame football is and just college football in general.
So that's just kind of, you were, I'm guessing, a senior in high school. And I believe you, I guess, studied abroad in California for high school, correct?
Yep.
So you were just over there, and then that's kind of just through that research process, actually trying to pick a school, that's kind of how you kind of first came across Notre Dame. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
And so what kind of led you to decide to go to the path of picking Notre Dame over maybe some offers to play at Ivy League schools and decide you wanted to walk on at Notre Dame?
Yeah, so I think just pursuing my next challenge is huge. After I had, you know, some of the Ivy offers to play football there, I didn't think, you know, it was like, I don't feel like I need a peer validation of, okay, this guy need, you know, is smart enough to go to Ivy League, or I don't need to, I guess, make my family happy just by, you know, spending my 4 years at a place. Like to me, I enjoy playing football so much. I guess it's every guy's dream to be a professional athlete, and playing football at Notre Dame is probably closest to being a professional athlete. I guess my dream of being a smart kid just pivoted to, playing football in front of 100,000 people, and Notre Dame offered a package of, good academics, very good, a very religious and faithful, group of people. But on top of that, you have like the best football brand in the US.
And how did you fall in love with playing American football?
Sorry. Well, I was just somehow good at it, to be honest. So I didn't even start playing football until freshman year of high school, and then before that I had a fall sports sign up sheet, just from the high school, like what sports do you want to play in the fall. And I just put football because it was like the most American thing to do, the most cultural thing to do, and I'm like, okay, I want to if I want to study here and live here, I might as well just do the most, American thing. Like let me see like what American culture is like. That's the whole reason I put American football. That's why I played it, and I scored my first touchdown in less than 2 minutes. My first ever JV debut.
Wow.
I played running back. I went up to coach. I'm like, hey coach, like what position scored me the most points? He was like, probably running back. And I'm like, okay, then I'm gonna try out for running back. And so I started training the first week, the Monday of the first week. We had a game Friday that week. I missed the preseason because I want to spend more time at home. They just gave me a disadvantage. And we're playing our hometown rival, Pacific Grove High School. We were down 0-14. And then there was 2 minutes left the game. Like it doesn't really matter anymore. The coach was like, okay, let's put this Chinese kid in. So they put me in. The quarterback was like, I'm gonna hand you the ball, and then don't even worry about what gap to run, just run straight, like run as far as you can. So I probably had 6-7 carries, average like 15 yards, 10-15 yards per carry, and then just score a touchdown on a spin move, which I've never done it before. Somehow I just spin on the guy and then score a touchdown. And I think that just absolutely amazed the coaches, and they're like, how come this kid has never played football, like somehow good? And I just become the starter for the rest of the season, and then brought up to varsity my sophomore year.
That's awesome. I didn't try playing high school football or football in general, I should say, until my sophomore year of high school, and my story did not go as well as yours. So it definitely doesn't always work out that way. So then you just kind of kept playing and falling in love with the game, but it doesn't sound like you really understood the or got into like the fandom or college football and stuff until you started looking at Notre Dame. So when you decided to go to the university, it doesn't sound like you were preferred walk-on necessarily anything. You just like, I want to make this dream happen. Is that kind of your mindset when you got to campus?
I mean, I'm so like detached to college football. Like all my understanding of college football is I want to use this as an application tool for me to get into good schools. At the same time, I want to play football. That's like the whole sort of idea of like how I was thinking about applying to college and playing. But so I don't really understand, like, okay, there's preferred walk on, there's like true walk on. I never reach out to any of the staff at Notre Dame football until fall semester started, and that's how I learned, okay, there's actually preferred walk on. And at that time, when I emailed them, it's too late. They're like, you gotta wait for the spring tryout. So I just patiently waited. I trained my ass off every week, to prepare for the tryout.
And I read something that did you have to borrow an ID to get into the athletic facilities at some point? What's that story?
I mean, it's good that I graduated, so I won't get into trouble anymore, but South Bend Winter, It's brutal. Like, it's absolutely no way to train outside. So I'll wake up around like 5, 6 a.m. in the morning, and then I'll borrow someone's, like a student athlete's key card in my dorm room. I lived in Siegfried, to snug into the indoor Loftus.
Oh, wow.
And then for a while, I think it was, when do they live in the morning? It's spring. Yeah, every spring, they're literally doing weightlifting in the gym, and I'm in the Loftus. It's like literally one wall away. I don't know if you've been there, but
Yeah.
if you're in Loftus, like the turf area, you can hear what's going on in the weight room. So at 6 a.m. when I stuck in there, like I can hear they're cheering, they're like yelling, swearing, all that stuff, and that's just like a extra motivation for me to like work harder. And it was like very one funny encounter. I think I don't remember like what it was, spring or fall. I was just working, doing my drills in the Loftus. Somehow the O-line group came to the Loftus, and then they were using half of the field. I just moved to the other half, and after they're done, there's this one guy at this point, like I don't even know who he was. I think he was a starter, an injured starting player. And he came up to me. He was like, "Are you on the team?" I'm like, "No, I just want to walk on." He was like, "Oh, because a bunch of the guys are wondering like if you're on the team because you look like you can play, like you're good enough to be on the team, but like we weren't sure if you're actually on the team. Like if you are, like what the hell are you doing here?" I'm like, "No, I want to walk on there." Like after that, it just gave me so much confidence that like getting validations from those people, and I'm like, okay, I'm definitely gonna do it.
Nice. So then you try out the spring of your freshman year. Is that
Yeah.
kind of how that went?
Yeah. So my freshman year, so to walk on at Notre Dame or like any other school, like it doesn't really matter like how good you are, unless you're 4-star, 5-star, that good. Otherwise, they will only take a look at you if you're needed, if there's a spot open on the roster. So my freshman year, so my sophomore year, I walked on with this guy called Mike Brown. We both play corner, and freshman year tryout, I sort of already know that two of the, probably the most athletic guys among the group is me and Mike. And me and him didn't make the first year, even though I thought we did the best in the tryout. And it was mainly because they just didn't have any position or spot for the skill players. They needed some mids and a quarterback, so they picked up a linebacker and a quarterback. And there was nothing I could do about it unless I'm just like, that much better.
Right.
It was a bummer for me. It took me probably like a week or two to sort of get over it. I'm like, the whole purpose of me coming to Notre Dame is to play football, and now, this plan has failed. What should I do next? So yeah.
And what was that like to, I guess, kind of go through that experience? What are tryouts like? Is it just participating in kind of spring practice and going through the drills with the team, or what was that process like?
Well, they have like an individual like session for you to go through. You do like all your like weights, heights, wingspan, like all the measurements, and then you warmed up, which is the first warm up is freaking tiring. Like after that, I feel like half of the guys already gassed. And then they make you do a bunch of like acceleration, they time you 40, I believe. Bunch of like cone drills to see your acceleration, decel, change of directions. And then for my second one, my sophomore tryout, I specifically know that they're looking for corners, so I've done a lot of corner drills, and I was winning in every drill. Like they will put people in competitions, and I was winning every drill. So at that point, I know like if they want to pick someone, it gotta be me. And at the end, for one of the drills, they pick me and Mick. Like after everyone has done their rounds, they pick me and Mick to compete against each other. And at that point, I know, okay, at least they're gonna choose one of us because like that was the first time in the entire tryout they like specifically call out two people to compete, and I won by a huge margin, and I just like run to the coach. I'm like, F yes, and then I just like live in the moment, and then the coach was loving it. And after that, they had me and Mike did some of the corner drills, just two of us, and other people are running wide out routes with some quarterback, and at that point already know like I probably made the team.
Awesome. And what was it like when you found out you were on the team?
It was actually my 21st birthday, the same day.
Oh, wow.
It's actually kind of crazy. I partied pretty hard the night before. Dorm room was trashed, so I had to live in Morris Inn for one night. I was so hungover. The phone call woke me up. It was from the player personnel, probably like 9:30 in the morning. I picked up. He was like, "Hey, we're gonna have you back at the facility on Monday to do a physical check. If you're good, then we'll follow up with the next step. But you can tell your family about this news, but don't post on social medias. Use that until your physical is all good, like you're not officially on the team yet." So that was the phone call, like very, very plain and mysterious. But like nevertheless, it's probably the best day of my life.
That's awesome. And what was it like to go through? You didn't make it the first year. It sounds like a lot of it because they just didn't have a position need for cornerbacks at the time. But what was it like to prepare for that over the next year? I guess using that as additional motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just like extra motivation, but also like you have experience. You know what a trial is like. The next time you go in there, like you're planned, you're prepared to, okay, like what are some of the things that they're looking at? Because going into my first trial, I was kind of going to their blind. Like I have a general idea. I talked to the past walk-ons, like what the trials was like. But then they kind of changed it up every year, especially. I believe there was a coaching staff change. Yeah, I think they changed their strength staff freshman year, so like the whole program was different from the year before. But like at first I was so pissed, I was sad. Like I'm like, what am I gonna do here? Like yeah, I just couldn't find a purpose of me being here anymore. And I was looking at transferring to UPenn to see if I can still play football there and get like a UPenn degree. But then all my guys, all my friends, I know a couple of friends on a team, they're like, "Hey, do you like come next year? You can do it. If next year don't make it, like you can do it again." There's this one guy named Colin Godsmer. Think he made the team junior year because of COVID, got cut again, and it made the team senior year.
Oh.
And I was like, hey, if this guy is so like resilient and determined, then I have 3 more years left. I'm just gonna try it every single year. I'm just like, so that's the whole, I guess, like mentality going into the second year. But like I was absolutely obsessed. I had the same class with Logan Diggs, the running back who transferred out. We're in the same class. I told him about situation. I showed him my film, my workout. He was like, at that point, the running back room had only like two healthy running backs, maybe one. And I'm like, "Hey, dude, I play running back in high school. Like, can you make an intro?" He's like, "Yeah, I'll let you know." Like that whole night, I couldn't sleep. Like just knowing that there is some possibility. This is like after my first tryout that I know I didn't make the team. So like that's like how much I'm obsessed with getting onto the team. Like literally couldn't sleep at night. I would dream about me getting a phone call like, "Hey, we want to see you there again." Like, I think that's like what it like the amount of obsession that it takes to make it.
And so you make the team. I assume you're there for spring practice of 2024. What's it like to kind of get on to the first practice as a member of the team?
Yeah, it was horrible because I've never played defense in high school, and you gotta compete with some of the 4-star, 5-star receivers. And they don't care. They don't care if you're a walk-on. They don't care if, you've been playing football for only for 4 years. They don't care about, you're Chinese, you didn't play Pee Wee football, like you've never played defense high school. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're on the field, like you gotta compete with those guys. And it's good that Coach Freeman, like, he likes me a lot. He's always a, very likable coach. He gives everyone attention. So he coaches me up. He spent a lot of time with me trying to point out the details, which was pretty surprising. I'm like, hey, you're a freaking head coach, where you're like wasting time on me. But he would pull me aside, like tell me what I did wrong, like give me pointers, which I always appreciate. And there was this one rep, like my first ever time got thrown into the team period. I was guarding Ken Williams, my first ever rep. He was running a comeback or curl. And we played all man, so I was pressing. He just dusted me right off of the release. So I was trailing behind. But then he was running comeback, so that it didn't serve his advantage. I was right there. And then the quarterback throw to him. I grabbed his jersey, and then he didn't complete the catch. It was low key a DPI, but then the benches went wild, like all the defense, because this walk-on just guarded Campbell, and who was probably the highest prospect receiver of that class. So like even after that, like in the locker room, they're like, "Hey, dude, you know who you just guarded?" I'm like, "Ken Williams." They're like, "Hell yeah, it's Ken Williams." Like the whole corner room was hyped. Like that's, I guess, like the brotherhood that I enjoyed. And like even though it was tough going through my first couple of practice, but my teammates was always there to support me, which make it much easier.
That's awesome. And do you feel like after a few practices, you kind of got your bearings and were able to assimilate a little bit better into what you needed to do at practice?
Yeah, absolutely. Just get used to intensity, what the coach is looking for. Like it's extremely fast paced, like to move between stations, periods, like it's always, kickoff return, and then you got like indie periods, maybe special team indies, team period. Like it's always follow this same order, but at first, like you don't know what the hell is going on. What is like, where do you supposed to be for scout team? Where do you supposed to be for like, KOR? Like, what is this drill? Like, it probably took me 2 months to like have everything rotate at least once. So at that point, I'm pretty comfortable to sort of survive in the practices.
Oh, it makes sense. I mean, when we as the media go to practices, it really is just like the period changes and somebody comes over the PA, like we're doing this period or whatever. So I guess, yeah, you just have to know like, oh, this is where I go during this period. So that does make sense. You're probably swimming and don't totally know where to go at first. So I'm sure there's some awkward moments or confused moments in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then you get over the summer. Obviously, that first year you're on the team was a pretty big year for the team. What was it like to kind of go through fall camp and I guess kind of start working with Coach Mickens, and obviously Notre Dame's quarterback room was pretty talented that fall.
Yeah. So I actually didn't go through fall camp because I tore my labrum the
Oh no.
week before my sophomore year spring, the week before the blue and gold game was the jersey scrimmage. And I tore my labrum in one of the special team period. And I missed the blue and gold game, which I could have been corner five. So you have two starting corners on each side. That's four. And you have corner five and six. So I was literally the first backup for blue and gold game, which I was pretty excited because I'm gonna play in the Notre Dame Stadium for the first time. I'll probably get a lot of playing time because there are not many people in front of me. And it was just a bummer that I tore my labrum the week before. So I missed that. I missed the whole summer workout. I missed majority of my junior season. I came out, I think, in November. So I caught the last couple of games of my junior season and obviously the playoff run. But yeah, the corner room is fantastic. You have BMO, you have Xavier Watts, Leonard Moore. Actually, Leonard Moore wasn't here yet. Where was he? Yeah, he
Got there
was.
over the
Leonard Moore.
summer, yeah.
I mean, BMO was probably the, and Jaden Mickey. You know, those two guys are probably my closest friends on the team. At that point, as soon as I got onto the team, BMO invited me to his house. He lived with Jaden Mickey, so we would watch game together, have food, just like mess around, and we just became very good friends. And he's sort of like, you know, took care of me. He's like sort of the leader of the room, you know, coach me up, but you know, we're very close off the field as well, so that always helped.
What was that like to have, a guy who, I mean, still even with his injury, went on to be a second round pick after that season? What was it like to have, like you said, kind of the leader of the room take you under his wing so early on, and then I assume dealing with that injury too? Obviously, he had to deal with an injury then while you were still out. I assume maybe that kind of helped with that bond in a maybe unfortunate way.
Yeah, so I guess like you know, me and him were, you know, he really appreciated some of my qualities and stuff I do in my life, and obviously I, you know, he is, you know, hell of a football player, and I guess like the mutual appreciation is where we sort of connected. So it was never like, you know, I guess like, you know, we're I never see him as like, holy shit, he is like the next second round pick, or at that point I thought he would go first round. It was like he was just a very good friend, a brother, like, you know, very, very, very good to me. And because of him, that's probably I stay on the team for my second year, because I tore my labrum. If you're a walk-on, couldn't contribute to the team, like why would they keep you around? But it was BMO, J-Mig, I think Jordan Clark, bunch of guys that talked to Coach Mig, that talked to Coach Freeman. They're like, hey, we love Dew around the building. Like, hey, I know like he's dealing with some injuries, but you gotta keep him around. So that message, like, you know, got through, and I think that's why I stay for another year, because at that point, like over the summer, I didn't even know if I'm going to return to the team, because, you know, the rehab's going to take another 6 months. That means I'm going to miss majority of the season. So they basically need to invest so much resources into me before they see any return. So yeah.
Oh, makes sense. And you mentioned you, it sounds like, came back in 2024 in November, kind of right before the playoff run. What was it like to then start getting on the practice field and finally helping the team after, being out for so long and having that setback?
Yeah, I mean, the cardio is a big thing. I was gassed the first couple of practice, like absolutely gassed. And at that point, we're short on corners. So I will play the entire scout period, three scout periods actually. Like just me and Mike, we will play the entire corner position. You would get like to run go routes, you like follow the go routes, and then you'll jog back, and then it will be the next snap. Might be another go route. So you gotta, you know, keep up with the guy, which they might be running 70%. But you gotta run 100% to keep up. So that was like absolutely brutal. I can still like recall what it was like. And also just being not so comfortable using my shoulder again, like to deflect passes. I was wearing a brace. Always like just prone to use my right hand, which you don't do it, you know, every time. Like you use your left and right. So that was sort of like disadvantage. And also just you kind of like hesitate before tackling, especially when you tackle with your left shoulder. It's always kind of hard to get through that mental block at first. But then as time goes on, rehabbing, you just get over that mental block at some point.
Nice. And then so then there's the playoff run, and I think after the Indiana game, you kind of went viral for your nameplate being written in Mandarin.
Your Chinese name. What I can to kind of go back a little bit. How did that come about? Did you say, hey, I would like to be represented this way? Obviously, at Notre Dame, you don't have your name on the back of your jersey during the regular season, so it's only during the playoffs when that happened. But how did that come about?
So there's this guy named Jackson He. He played football at ASU. When he was playing, I was in high school doing football recruiting, and then I was like, and I saw his jersey. I'm like, hey, this dude is tough. Like, dude, he's playing D1 football, and so that just gave me an inspiration. But at the same time, my real name's never Charles, so it's always my Chinese name. So feel at the biggest stage, I want to get represented in the most authentic way. That's like actually me. So that's why I talked to the EQ manager. You know, they say yes. They probably would have done it for the Army's game when we have the Shamrock jersey. But I didn't even know that they could put last name on the Shamrock jersey, so I didn't really request it. So I had that one, my just DU on the back. But then for playoff run, I, talked to them a couple weeks ahead, and they just took care of me. Didn't think it would go viral. It's more of like just for myself, but I guess it did.
And what was that like to see you get that type of reaction and people even recognizing that? Because that's obviously, like you said, not why you did it, but to see it kind of blow up and a lot of different people pointed out.
So I gotta thank my guy Randy. So he's a photographer for UMich football. He's a very and he just loved my journey walking onto the football team, and he wanna like sort of record my whole journey. So he was at my game every time to take pictures. He wrote a very good article about me. He's done a lot of like PR work for me. It's mainly just to sort of want to spread out my journey, my experience, the mentality of walk on. And it was funny, like after the first game, I think it was after IU maybe. I think ESPN, Bleacher Report, they would all reach out to Randy to ask for the credit of the picture, one of the pictures that he shot with my nameplate on back. And then after the Sugar Bowl, I think it was Antonio Brown, CTESPN. Like, I don't even know what that was. But my teammates, like, we're done with the game. We're on the bus. They're like, hey, you're featuring CTESPN. I'm like, what the hell is that? He's like, don't get on your Twitter. Like, that took me a while to learn. And then in our office reached out to me, and they're like, Antonio Brown want to talk to you. Like, do you consent us to give out your number? I'm like, sure. But a bunch of people, follow my Instagram. I probably get like 100 DMs a day during that period of time. A lot of them, it's like, saying I'm their inspiration. I'm the best football player ever they've ever seen. Which, I appreciate all the support, but to like, mainly I just want to show people that it is possible, especially the underdogs. I think it's so important. That's what Jackson He did to me. To see someone who's never played single stand football can play D1 football, like you just got to work hard. So if it's one of those like, kids who are going through the same journey, I will usually respond and, just give them some pep talk. I just trying to impact as many people as possible while I can.
Nice. And yeah, so it sounds like you actually took the time to respond to most of those messages.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. If I think if it's worth the time to respond, yes.
Right.
If it's just like, you're the GOAT, something like that, and I would just like the message.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But yeah, I'm sure that was probably a little overwhelming. You're going through a playoff run, you're still going to school, like doing all those things, and then getting your phone blown up by a bunch of strangers. I'm sure that was probably a surreal experience. And how have your, I guess, did your parents, were, did they, come to many games. I don't know how where they're located, I guess, either. But
Yeah.
how have they been in terms of being supportive, or did they have a little hesitation with you trying to walk on or play American football?
Well, at first, my mom had issue with me playing football, just in general. I should be very scared of, like, being a mom, understand my high school games. She can't stop but like worrying about me getting injured. Like every hit, I play running back, so I get hit a lot. There are a couple of pretty bad hit that like it popped, and like the pop can everyone can hear on a stand. So it wasn't a very easy period for my mom to watch my game, but it probably helps that I'm not playing at Notre Dame, so he doesn't have to worry as much. But my dad is in Beijing, China. He run his business there, so it's very tough for him to travel here. But my mom is here with me, so she would come to every home game, to just support my journey. She was here for every playoff game as well. So it's always good to, being on a very special stage and you can spot your mom, in the crowd, and that just make everything worth it.
That's awesome. And so you stayed on the team. You, as you mentioned, you had some of your teammates vouch for you. You're on the team again this past fall. What was it like going through everything again, now having an idea of what you're doing, and also coming off that playoff run? Obviously, there's a lot of attention on the team too.
Yeah. Well, definitely, like, as an older guy, you're sort of taking in a lot of the younger guys. You're a lot more chill on a lot of the stuff. Like, you're not always on your toes. Like, you can sort of like be more comfortable. You don't have to like scramble around. Football has officially become my lifestyle. Like, you don't have to worry about waking up, missing the check-in in the morning, because like that's become your bio clock already. Like, you don't have to worry about or like remembering, okay, what happened after school, what's next, what's next. Like, everything, it's just like stuck with you because you've been doing it every single day for the past year. So very comfortable, just become my lifestyle. I just trying to enjoy my last year, going through, I guess my last year. I always try to remind myself like what it like when I was a freshman or a sophomore. Just trying to be grateful, like that, don't take the opportunity for granted, especially with my last year, because I know, time flies, this one over, I'm gonna miss it so much, as I'm doing right now. I guess I was able to everything I have during my last year. I don't have any regrets except for not playing in the Senior Bowl game. But besides that, I think, yeah, I think I had a very good senior year.
Definitely. And I know the season got off to a little bit of a rough start with the two losses early by, I think, a combined 4 points. And then after that, the defense kind of got it together. And for the rest of the way, I feel like we're probably that highest ranked defense the rest of the year. But what do you remember what kind of flipped from maybe like halfway through that Purdue game or anything that kind of changed things for the defense? Because it seemed like there's like a switch flipped a little bit where things under new defensive coordinator Chris Ash kind of clicked.
Yeah, to be honest, there's a lot of criticism with Chris Ash at the beginning of the season. Best players, you kind of know, like, really not a lot of stuff changed. We ran a lot of the same scheme. There's some tweaks, but we know that Coach Ash is a good coach. It wasn't because of him, but like to the public, it was a defensive coordinator that f everything up. But I guess it just takes time, like, to get used to a coach calling the plays, get used to the defensive schemes. It wasn't that much different, but it's still a little different. Especially you have two of your hardest game, you have a new DC. I guess it's just hard. And second of all, like, we're dealing with a lot of injuries. So our nickel position, Devonta Smith was out. We're trying to figure out who's a good safety to rotate in, alongside with Adon. A lot of things that just went south for us. And then I guess like people getting healthy, coaches finally learning about their players, because like to perform in practice versus perform in a game is different. So like it just took 2 weeks to figure that out, but it just sucks that the 2 games were our toughest opponent. So it's kind of hard. The room for the margin of error is very small. So that probably, what led to the 4-point loss.
No, that makes sense. And as you mentioned, it's kind of disappointing then to miss out on the playoffs and not playing a bowl. But I believe you made your on the field debut in the victory over Syracuse on senior day. And you mentioned kind of wanting to play in front of, 75 plus thousand people, that being kind of one of your goals or something that attracted you to Notre Dame. What was it like to actually get on the field in that game and play in front of the crowd and I guess kind of have your own Rudy moment in a way?
So I guess like I got a lot of playing time during the spring game. Probably play like 30, 40 snaps maybe. And that was a good amount of crowd there, probably 40,000 people. So that gave me a lot of experience. That definitely helps, being able to playing corner, it's a lot harder than just be on kickoff. So definitely a lot more pressure to play in the goal game, blowing goal game than the actual game, because you don't want to get smoked and get score touchdown on in front of that many people, which I didn't, which is pretty good. But like the actual game, at first, so I had 2 reps of kickoff. The first one, I totally f on my assignment, because all I could think of is run as fast as I could. And then when I run down, I'm like, holy f, I supposed to like squeeze to the ball, but then I just run straight down. So thankfully it was a touchback. But then Freeman got on my ass in a good way. He was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to do this. Like, he just gave me a little pep talk. He knows I'm like, this is my first time getting nervous. He's happy for me. But at the same time, he want me to. He doesn't want us to get crypt. So the next game, I board my next the next kickoff. I just remember what he said. So I became way more physical and aggressive. I just know my assignment, and I went up to him, and we're just like, what we call difference. So like you just like hit him, and then you want to control him, and then you want to get rid of him. So we're like just like battling there, which he absolutely loved, because I wasn't giving away any of my ground, and I was being very physical. And after play, Freeman was fired up. He was like, hell yeah, this is what I'm talking about. And then he like chest bumped me and all that. But yeah, that was like a surreal night. Always wondered when I can actually play. Like, I for sure hope that I can play at Notre Dame on the field. I think that was our last home game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so like it just couldn't be more perfect. Before every game, I always, do a little prayer. I'll always pray that all my teammates are healthy and we win this game. And I never ask to play, but I ask if the opportunity comes, just allow me to perform at my best ability. So I guess God always has his plan on when I should, me coming here, me playing football, and me playing, actually getting a snap on my last day at a very good crowd at night at, South Bend. It just couldn't go any better.
And what's like, you touched on this a little bit earlier, but for Coach Freeman, you mentioned it was your first rep was a kickoff that was a touchback. For him to be noticing what you did as one of the 11 guys when there's so many other things going on, there's the defense is about ready to get on the field. All these other things are going on too, but for him to notice that you did something wrong in your rep that ultimately didn't even have an impact on the game.
Maybe I just did that bad. I don't
No, well,
know.
I didn't mean it that way, but just that
Yeah,
he is paying
I was
attention
kidding.
and
Yeah, I was kidding. I mean, I think the fact that he's half Asian and his mom is full Korean, I think he definitely, like, whenever he meets my mom, he definitely, like, understand what it's like to raise by a full Asian mom. And I guess, like, that just, like, make him very relatable. And to be honest, I'm kind of like a unique character in the locker room, like from a culture standpoint. It's just like a culture shock to everyone, what I bring into the locker room. I like to around with all the guys, joke around. Like, it's just like this cultural clash. It's healthy, it's funny, it builds bonds. And same with the coaches. They never coach someone coming from my background. And like I said, like, I think because of this, like, Asian heritage connection between me and Freeman, like, that probably got me a lot more attention from him. And we have some, like, some off of the field topic that we lo love to talk about, which we both always appreciate.
No, that makes sense. And what you mentioned, there's like a, you felt like culture shock to it. What do you, I guess, mean like by that? Like what do you think that you maybe brought to the locker room that was different from the rest of the guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, just the fact that I grew up in China, the way, I guess, they talk, the way they approach to things, or even just, like, I'd never, trained to be an athlete, or never, when I grew up, never thought I would be an athlete at one point. Like, for them, athletes, their whole identity. So it's not just like racial sort of clash, but also, like, more identity, where, football is sort of like my plus one versus football is their everything, where they want to figure something out in life, in their finances, with their academics. For me, it was like the totally opposite. Like, my priority was my career, academics, and I'm trying to be good at football at the same time. So we have different priorities. We have different totally schedules. I would go do a lot of the career stuff to take care of my academics, where they're, like, very locked in on football. But at the same time, we talk about our upbringings. When I got into a team, I wasn't religious, I wasn't faithful. BMO and J-Meg, they converted me. They dragged me to Bible study.
Wow.
For a couple of times when I was at their crib, they do Bible study sessions with me. They always preach to me. They're like two of the most faithful guys I know. So yeah, I mean, that I just from a lot of different angles, it's just, we're like, me and most of my teammates were like the total polar opposite, and somehow we can, crash together and enjoy each other.
That's great. And you mentioned your finance background. You graduated this spring with a degree in finance and applied mathematics. And I looked out your LinkedIn, and you mentioned your career ambitions. It looks like you did a lot of things as an analyst and with private equity. And it looks like you even founded your own I don't know if it's company, Golden Capital. So it sounds like you were really busy. I guess pursuing your career and your own ambitions while all this football stuff is going on. What was that like, kind of balancing that part with a very demanding athletic schedule? As you mentioned, you're having to adjust your bio clock and things like that for that too.
I think time management is a big part. It just I football was football at that point. Like, I probably said it wrong. Football and career were my priorities. Academic was never, because it was very easy for me to take care of the schoolwork. So I just I don't have much social life. I wouldn't go out to bars at night. I would spend that time, get it back early, wake up early, maybe do something in the morning. So for my last year, I was also running a hedge fund, so that was very, very stressful. Just managing a lot of money, dealing with a lot of a very big daily P&L while playing football. It wasn't fun. It was like getting crushed by two sources of stress. And I honestly don't have a life. It was just like literally grinding every day. I probably went to bar like two times the whole football season. Which is definitely like uncommon. And I mean, it just if you wanna be different, you gotta do something different. So I just gave up my social life and devoted everything all my time and resources, energy into what I actually enjoy doing, which is football and running my hedge fund.
No, it makes sense. And I guess it probably helps a little bit socially that you had the community and the brotherhood with football. So it's not like you were
Absolutely.
isolated with that.
Yeah.
So what are your plans now? You mentioned you were already running a hedge fund. What are you doing now that you graduated?
Yeah, I'm still running a hedge fund. I want to see where this take me. My work full time afterwards might not, it all depends on, if I hit a bottleneck, if how well I'm doing with the fund. But right now I'm just running this full time in New York City, and it's been doing well.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's so interesting that you're kind of already started your career while you're playing football at Notre Dame. What's it been like to kind of transition, not being on campus, you're no longer around the guys. What's it like to have kind of your first spring and then this fall away from the team and kind of become I guess somewhat of a you'll be an alumni and a fan as opposed to a member of the team.
Yeah, I mean, spring wise, I just grind on my phone from like literally like 6 a.m. till nighttime. It was just like hard grind. Like, as you can imagine, for an entrepreneur, it's like full on like just grind mode. So time flies. And then now I'm trying to find things to replace football. Now I got into boxing. There is this like very legendary old school boxing gym. Very close by to where I live, and I wake up at 5 a.m., go there and work out for 2 hours. Have a Hall of Famer coach that coached me.
Wow.
The sort of like the conditioning, the violence intensity, very much similar to football, if not like probably more intense. Requires a lot more cardio, and I mean, I just love the feeling of. It's 5 a.m. I want to sleep in, but I can't. Like, this might be weird, but I just enjoy that torture to myself. It's just like football, that I never want to show up to football. At the same time, I have to, and I kind of want to as well. I just don't want to wake up that early. So I intentionally told the coach that I want to train at 5:30. So I got to wake up at 5. And he's a Hall of Famer. He's seen all sort of freaky athletes. I'm no different to him, and he would coach me probably harder. Like my 2 hours session, there's no break. In between rounds, I would do push-ups and core work
Oh,
for 2 hours
wow.
straight. So it's actually a lot more tiring than a football practice. But yeah, I just it's a very good replacement to football. And so far, I've been enjoying it.
That's awesome. And what's the name of your hedge fund?
The Golden Capital.
Oh, okay. So that's the one I referenced earlier. Okay. Awesome. And I guess the last thing I want to ask you is, I mentioned now you'll kind of be a fan this fall. What is it going to be like, do you think, to I guess watch the games on TV or go to them in the stands now? And what are your thoughts on this upcoming season?
Yeah. We have a great team. I wish I could be on the team this year. I think we're gonna win it now. We'll probably go back for a game or two. It's always a special place to me. I always want to go back and support my guys. I still have a couple close friends on the team. Hopefully they can hook me up with some tickets or even a field pass, hopefully. just enjoy being by the guys, by the sideline, just rooting for them. Like I can't wait for the season to start. We have a pretty good schedule and very good team. I just think, this is a team that could do it. And funny stats, last time Knicks win, Notre Dame won the champion too. So let's see if history will repeat itself.
Oh, great. And I guess you were in New York City for that too, so I'm sure that was a lot of fun.
It was kind of wild.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for making time to be here with me today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Awesome. And for everybody listening, we'll be back again in 2 weeks.